I was lucky to get a radar systems job at Sperry Gyroscope Company, which had pioneered in radar during the war, and had a wonderful group to work with. And in the process of doing that, I got heavily involved in communication theory. So I come at it from communication theory.
Right.
You might know that before World War II, communications was broadly considered to be radio and telephony, these two areas. And much of it was seat-of-the-pants engineering. For example, if you look at a book like Radio Engineering by Turman, mm-hmm. one of the real pioneers, going back to the 30s, which is one of the textbooks we used in those days, that's strictly circuit after circuit and very little analysis, mm-hmm. Very little overall systems orientation, anything like that. I think World War II changed that, at least from my perspective it did. And a lot of this came from the work of the radiation laboratory at MIT, which put out this whole series of books on radar. Mm-hmm. And I working in that field in post-1947, used a lot of that material. At the same time, there were people at Bell Labs also working in that area. Shannon, for example, the giant of information theory, did a lot of work in World War II on problems related to better transmission for the military. A lot of work came out of that. Norbert Wiener working at MIT was also working on work of that type. So this all came out of problems during World War II. A lot of it having to do with trying to improve radar technology. The idea that once you had radar systems, it wasn't sufficient. You had a lot of physicists, a lot of mathematicians working on it, Rad Lab, MIT, in my own view. Mm-hmm. They developed a systems view that had been missing. Very good physicists working on it, good mathematicians, very good engineers. But the systems concepts had been slowly developing, but they really came together there. For example, such problems like detecting signals and noise, mm-hmm. a critical issue in communications, that came out of work, out of radar. Now, working in this group at Sperry that I worked on beginning in 1940, I worked on it in that group for 2 years, 47 to 49. And I came in as a young kid, fresh out of school. I just received a master's degree. I just received a degree at Cooper Union. Right. And I started a master's degree at night at Brooklyn Poly. So I was doing all kinds of teaching at Cooper Union too. When you're young, you have a lot of energy, all kinds of things simultaneously. Anyway, I got fascinated. Now, here I am, fresh out of Cooper Union. I get involved with a systems group, radar systems group, Sperry. And the first thing I had to learn was probability. I never took a course in probability theory. Mm-hmm. But here I'm being asked to study signals and noise. What is noise? What is signal? How do you represent these things? What do you mean by detecting signals and noise? Because this is a critical issue in radar. So I did a quick learning process. And I must say, in all honesty, that sometimes I feel I'm not as good in probability. All my work has been in statistical technology, but I never had a formal course in the subject. So it's all seat of the pants, kind of sort of self-learning. And I taught courses here, but somehow or other I still miss the rigorous approach that you might learn in this, even though I taught it. You know, it's one of these things that you feel. Anyway, it turned out one of the key things, areas that we had to learn quickly was noise representation. That was a very hot topic, first of all, in radar. And how do you pull up signals from noise? Mm-hmm. And the first thing I got hold of when I, my two primers, you might say, at that time, were one of a radiation laboratory series on detection of signals. One book was on that alone. And so I went through that. The other was a classic paper, series of papers written by Steve Rice, S.O. Rice, at Bell Laboratories in 1944 on noise representation, mathematical noise representation. I found it very difficult as a young kid, and I don't know about the background of probability. These guys are tossing this stuff at me, spectral analysis. I didn't know what that was. You never learned that. See, the problem in the school, as I said before, was all seat of the pants kinds of things. Design electronic circuits, there's no system orientation of any kind. And now suddenly you have to learn about spectrum analysis. Some of this had appeared earlier in the literature, but really hadn't been done in schools. And the whole field has changed now. And this came out of World War II. Mm-hmm. People dealing with noise representation, people dealing with representation of signals, spectral analysis, all these things came out. So I had a quick learning job. And that was my basic start. And that's when I first, by the way, at the same time, Hot in the Air was Shannon's work in information theory. That came out in 1948, the year after I started, after I joined Sperry. Right. And that was an eye-opener. Didn't quite understand all of it either. And that took a lot of learning. So everything was really very exciting in those days, I must say. The whole idea of communication theory, how to improve transmission of signals in the presence of noise, how you cope with this in radio, how you cope with this in radar-related ventures. But starting with radar and moving into radio now, how do you handle that? How do you telephone transmission in the presence of noise? All of these ideas began to gel and come together based on work in the war by Shannon, Wiener, Steve Rice at Bell Labs, people at Rad Lab, the physicists who worked there, putting to gel. There was work being done, some of this work was still being done in the classified area. There was a very famous report being done by a man named Markham, M-A-R-C-U-M, who was one of the first to do some basic work on detection of signals and noise for radar problems. It's been declassified a long time ago, and it's been published in a classic set of papers. Our work at Sperry was sort of similar, and we went beyond his to some extent. We used some of his work, but it went beyond it as well, too. So this was hot in the air in those days, and that was the most exciting thing. Now, nowadays, we look back and we say, well, that's only part of the communications process. That's what you call a physical layer. We didn't call it that in those days. But nobody thought about going up higher and like that. Just get those signals across. The noise is your big problem. So how do you handle it? How do you characterize the noise? How do you characterize the signals? How do you handle problems of this type? So that's where things were gelling in those